Live, brought to you from the Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
Of Jesus.
The most glorious work of all, to praise God in his kingdom.
Moved by the Spirit.
Anyone who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him.
What a wonderful thing is our church. This whole network is built on trust. The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you. We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity.
You know, I wanted to read a little bit tonight about St. Paul. And on Friday morning, or Thursday morning. No, it's Friday morning. Yeah, I hope the sisters aren't listening. We're going to have two sisters, blood sisters, and one will make her first vows and the other will get the habit. And we're putting them together in the hopes we can do the whole thing in an hour and a half. So I hope you'll listen, because it's a wonderful witness for all of us to see young girls who really want to give their entire life to Jesus. But you see, all of you have to give your life to Jesus too, in different vocations. Some of you are married, some of you are single, some of you in school. Some of you have lived pretty much of your life already. But it's all geared towards holiness. I think sometimes lay people write themselves off. Do you write yourself off? You say, well, I'm only a lay person. Well, you know, God didn't come and die for religious. They weren't even around. He came and died for each one of us, from the holiest to the most wicked in the whole world. Jesus died for Hitler. He dies for all the people who commit hideous crimes. He dies for you. He died for me. And you see, he died for everybody as if no one else existed. If you really want to blow your mind, that's how to do it. Eternity. What is eternity? Oh, never, 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 never ending. Never ending. The beautiful thing about being born in the first place is we're never going to die. Oh, this body dies. Our Lord's going to raise it up. It'll look a lot better then than it does now. You don't need to put all that makeup on and take care of your hair and take a bath every day. I mean, what a terrible burden all that is, isn't it? In heaven, oh, it'd be so different. So all of us have to make decisions, and we do every day, of where am I going? First, you have to know, why did God create me? Created me to know him, to love him in this life, to be with him forever. I get to see all you liberals jumping up and down. There's that old Baltimore catechism. But it's a good one, you see. And the new one is a good one. But I find most people, especially young people, kind of aimless, goalless. They don't know how much the Lord loves them. You know, today was a big article in Newsweek. And I was surprised, you know, they did a good job. Well, you know, they did a good job in pictures anyway, of describing Our Lady. Our Lady's on the front cover of Newsweek. And that's the argument of whether or not we should, or the Holy Fathers rather, should define Our Lady as co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate. Now those are kind of words that a lot of us say, huh? Whatever it is, she was it all the time. True. See, I don't know what all the fuss is about. So I thought I would look and ask you to look at the fifth chapter of Ephesians. Fifth chapter of Ephesians. You want to ask me a question anytime, just call up. And here is what St. Paul says. Be careful, he said, about the sort of lives you lead. Like intelligent, not like senseless people. Y'all pray, my asthma's not good today. And now he's gonna say something that, well, let's see if you catch on. This you're not praying good. I gotta blame it on somebody, you know. This is a wicked age. Did they get it? You think this one is a wicked age? Even in the time of St. Paul, nobody dreamed of partial birth abortions. Oh, God. You know, what are they going to do next, huh? But your lives should redeem it. Let me read that again. This may be a wicked age. So he's saying, then, as we do now, if I forgot my handkerchief, I'm in a lot of trouble. Whew. It's the unusual show, huh? I hope you didn't come too far to see it. I just read an article about me, and it said, Bunny has an unusual show. She coughs, blows her nose. I guess our Lord wanted me to prove it tonight. Anyway, this is what it says. This is a wicked age, and your life. Now, you're all sinners, aren't you? I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. But your life should redeem it. Now, why aren't you jumping up and down? Everybody else in the world is jumping up and down. We cannot call Our Lady co-redemptrix. Only Jesus saved. We know that. You're not telling us anything. Jesus is the one and only Redeemer. Ah, wait a minute now. St. Paul says you and I should redeem this world. How are we going to do that? I hope you got more water coming. You can sneak around and be me some more. Okay. Now, if you and I are to redeem this world, don't you think Our Lady could be co-redemptrix? Does that make any sense to you? Why are we so blown up about it? So much so that we have to have commissions and St. Paul said you and I should redeem it. How? By offering our pain and our sufferings for the salvation of the world. Okay, why? Why you need a redeemer? Only God can redeem. If I offend an infinite God, I can in no way redeem myself. I'm finite, I'm a nothing. But Jesus did. He came as God, man, and suffered terribly. What I do then, when I offer my sufferings and pain with His, when you live a good, holy Christian life. Somebody said to me, not to know, oh, that must be boring. I don't see wickedness as exciting. If you're a crook, you're always running away. You're constantly afraid of the police coming after you. If you're a shoplifter, they got cameras looking for you. And people dressed like ordinary customers who are really policemen. You call that fun? It is not fun when you're slowly beginning to wean yourself away from God. You're supposed to be happy with Him forever, but you don't even know how to be happy with Him here. Fun cannot be the focus of our life in the first place. We are here and we must be responsible people. If someone in trouble can look at you and find courage, you're redeeming, are you not? If you have the charism to reach out and talk to your neighbor and tell them about the Lord, you're helping to redeem. You're bringing people, but what does it mean to redeem? It means to bring people back to the Lord, to pray for them, to love them, so they experience the love of Jesus. That's what St. Paul meant. Now, if you and I are, who are sinners, have been asked by Paul to redeem it, And what does he say? It says, do not be thoughtless, but recognize what is the will of the Lord. Don't drug yourselves with wine and dissipation. I like that. I didn't even read ahead. I tell you, God is so good. It's awesome. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. See? Your life doesn't have to be like my life. We're just two different vocations. But in faithfulness to your state in life, you're doing what St. Paul says. We should redeem the world. We add our sufferings in our Mass, we after the holy sacrifice of the Mass every morning to Jesus to redeem the world, to save the world. Now, I would like to know which one of you could tell me that if we can do it, she can't. Anybody want to offer me an occasion for a little debate? Does that make any sense? Co means with. But I'm with Jesus. You're with Jesus in all your pain. Mother Teresa said that constantly. She sees Jesus in these suffering lepers, the suffering people, and before they die are being eaten up by maggots. She sees Jesus. You see? And she helps them to die. See, if she can do that, can we say our dear mother did not feel every wound of her son? You cannot tell me if you're a real mother that you don't feel in your heart if your son is criticized, if he is calumniated, if he's a loser, if he's sick or he's dying in an accident. You feel that. If you're a mother, you cannot help it. How are we going to ever say that our sweet mother did not feel our dear Lord's anguish and his awesome pain? That's all it is. Did anybody object to that? Oh, mother is being simplistic. Well, I think our dear Lord was simplistic. The Son of God talking about the sower and the seed, and half of them weren't even farmers. They were fishermen. That's why the apostles didn't understand what our dear Lord was saying. Explain it to us, Lord. You know, we're fishermen. We never planted a seed. We don't know that some falls on good ground and some falls on bad ground. Some falls on rock. When our dear Lord gave Mary as our mother to us, as a mother to us, had she not gone through that terrible pain with Jesus, he couldn't have given her to us, see? So if you can, your life should redeem the world. Certainly her life. She cooperated. Do you have cancer? Give that to Jesus. Suffer with all the pain that Jesus had. See? Now what are you doing? You're uniting your pain with his. See? That's what it means. Now, Mediatrix of all grace. You know, I explained that a couple of weeks ago, but because of that article, I just want to explain it again. I said a couple weeks ago that if you wanted to buy your dad a present, what did you do? You went to your mom. You don't have any money. What did she do? She got it from your dad. So what did she do? She gave you the money that came from your dad. Well, that's what Our Lady does with grace. Now, your dad knows where that money's gone. She can't tell your dad, look, I'm going out and buy myself a tie. She knows the tie. He knows the tie is for him. But he wants her to take the money to his son so his son can buy something for him. It used to happen that way. I don't know if it still does. And that's what Mediatrix is. It's our Lord saying, here's this whole bank. It's full of grace. Full, 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 full. It's yours. You give it to all your children. Is that too bad? Does that sound like such a hullabaloo? That we have to have all kind of articles and arguments and advocate. Oh, there's not one of you that hasn't asked either us for prayers or your neighbor for prayers or somebody other sinner for prayers. We ask each other for prayers. We're all a bunch of sinners. We don't even know if the one I'm asking for prayers is in a state of grace. Maybe the Lord is saying, who are you? We don't find that hard, do we? No. I'm going to be a champion for Mary. I guess you guessed that already. I just think it's a useless, unfair, and cruel thing for Catholics to say it's not needed, it's useless, it's wasting time, effort. Well, I happen to be in that little article They got a picture there, but under the picture is what I thought was awesome and wonderful. Under this old-fashioned nun that they call me, I was very flattered because I enjoy being an old-fashioned nun. And names don't bother me. But what it says under the article is that Mother Angelica feels or thinks that if we don't make Our Lady find that dogma, and it's only one dogma, not three, something terrible will happen in the world. Why? Don't you wonder why our dear Lord has been so patient? Don't you think he's patient? The way the world is today, I heard one Protestant minister say he ought to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, we got a lot of Sodoms and a lot of Gomorrahs around. But our dear Lord is patient. And I feel that he's patient because he wants this dogma. He loves his mother. She never said no to him. She was his faithful, faithful creature to the Father, a faithful daughter, a faithful mother to Jesus, and a faithful bride of the Holy Spirit. And never once did she offend either one. Nobody here, nobody anywhere in this whole wide world can ever say you never offended God. That kind of woman is the one that needs to be lifted up, not for herself, but because she has been so faithful. The Lord said, suffer with me. And she said, yes. The Lord says, here's all my gifts and all my graces. Hand them out to my children as you will. She says, yes. The Spirit said, be a perfect bride. And she said, yes. See, that's why I pray for that. I think when the devil fights so hard against something, it's worth having. That's a good sign for me. He doesn't fight over little nothings. He fights, as only a devil can, by making everybody think this is useless, this is going to cause a lot of trouble. The only trouble it causes among Catholics, I haven't heard any Protestants fussing over it. And we Catholics need a little shaking up. You got to admit that. We're just deadheads and dead bottoms. We're just not looking at anything. We're not doing anything. So please, please give our dear Lord and our Lady a chance to show you her power. Anyway, he goes on. He said, don't be so caught up in simple dissipation. We have to be like children, full of light, full of joy, full of love for each other. We have to love each other. Okay? Now here he says here, don't be a pagan. He says here, intellectually they are in the dark, estranged from the life of God, without knowledge. Why? Because they shut their hearts to it. If anybody listening to me tonight, and you've shut God out of your life, out of your heart, he waits longingly for you to come back. His love for you has never stopped for a moment. His love for you has never stopped for one second. You have stopped loving him. Maybe you haven't gone to church for months and months and months. You have forgotten him, deliberately, accidentally, however. He's not a part of your life. He's not a part of your life anymore. But all during this time, he has loved and loved and loved you. Come home. Go to confession and come home. You'll never feel so good. Ask the Spirit to give you light. You know, one of the things that I think it's hard for us to do is to trust, is to see Jesus in everything that happens. Try it. Try to say when something hard comes, it is the Lord. And I know what you're thinking. I don't believe this was the Lord. Well, he had to permit it. When he gave you and I free will, many of us are victims of other people's bad decisions. Bad decisions. Wasn't our Lord a victim of other people's bad decisions? The Pharisees hate him. They knew he was the Messiah. They're power hungry. They knew. You and I know the demands of God upon our lives. We know that. Even one of us know. But we have to trust that in this particular cross I have, in this particular pain, in this heartache, everything, anything that makes you unhappy, sad, is permitted by God to bring the very best out of you. And many people don't know that. God wants to bring the very best out of you. You're saying, you think, no, you're telling me that God has permitted this incurable disease to bring the best out of me? Yes. You're bringing the worst out of you. God wants to bring the very best out of you. There is something wonderful in trust. You won't understand, you don't know, but you can trust that, okay, Lord, I don't understand what you did. I don't understand why you did it or why you permitted it. I trust you. Oh, that's the most beautiful prayer in the whole wide world. I trust you, Lord. Let me give you a little example. Say if there is a man who has wanted this particular job for a long, long time. Now he's got the opportunity and he gets up early. He's got to be there at 9 o'clock. So he's driving in his car, he's feeling good, and he even says, Lord, when I get this job, I'm going to give you 15%. All of a sudden, his tire blows out. He veers off. There he is. He doesn't have a spare. He doesn't know what to do. There's not a car in sight. Minute passes minute, and he's lost the job. What he doesn't know is, as he was coming up the hill this way, a drunken driver was coming this way. And our dear Lord allowed that tire to blow. Time off. Allowed that tire to blow, or he'd have been totally wiped out, killed. What he didn't know was that this car was coming this way, this car was going that way. He wouldn't have known what happened. You see, if the man is trusting, he would be disappointed. He would feel bad. And not knowing the real reason, either the Lord saved him from sudden death. You see? If he said at that moment, well, Lord, I missed it, but I trust you, you'll find me something else. Wouldn't that be a witness, huh? Wouldn't that be an awesome witness? That's how you redeem the world. Our wicked age must change by our example. By our example is going to change. We have to pray for the world. We have to love the world. We have to trust that even all the problems in the church, all we hear now today is all the bad things the priests or ministers do. But there are many holy priests and many holy ministers. Nobody writes about them. I have to trust that God is allowing this for some reason, to give us the opportunity to pray, to give us the opportunity to really love the church even more. Movies. Well, there's a terrible series on, I understand, and I've seen it advertised, on the priest, how he was, everything that was wrong. Well, you gotta wonder why some people pick on Catholics, see? All I can figure out, it has to be the real church. That's all I know. Or they wouldn't pick on it so much. See, that's satanic. You know, to depict the worst of everybody. You look at TV, the very worst of women, the very worst it could be in a woman is all portrayed on television. You never see anything beautiful from in the heart, in the mind, in the soul about women. You just wonder why women even watch TV. Because you're downgraded, you're degraded, you're. And you know why they do that? I think the enemy inspires that because he hates the woman so much. And because you're a woman, he's gonna push you down as fast as he can. Why? Because that nature's solitary boast is one day going to defeat the enemy totally. And that's the humiliation he doesn't want. It's a woman that shall destroy all the enemies and demons in this world. It's a woman. And I think that's why every woman in every magazine, half naked, you're not depicted well. You're not. And you see, if I can trust God, even with that, if I can say to Jesus, Lord, the whole world is in such a mess. But I know, it's all in the palm of your hand. And when you're ready, you will change it. It's trust in your own lives. Lord, I don't know why my young son had to be killed by a drunk driver. Thy will be done. Not getting bitter and angry at God and mankind and everything else. Is it wrong? Very wrong. Very wrong. Should something be done about it? Of course. You're at the top of your life. You have everything. You've worked hard. You've got it all together. You go to a regular checkup and the doctor says you have about 3 months. Can you trust God and say, well, I don't understand, Lord, but I trust you. There's so many things like this in our daily life. So what I would like you to do is to think. Ask Our Lady to intercede for herself. Ask the Father. We want his awesome creature, Mary, to be honored because he created her so perfect and so holy. Let's look at Jesus in our daily lives. And when things happen that are painful, humiliations, misunderstanding with dear friends, that haven't talked to you in 5-6 years, your husband leaves or your wife leaves after 30 years of marriage, all of these things that happen to us, and to thousands every day. Just say, Lord, I trust you. In this miserable condition, I trust you. Just lead me in the right direction. That kind of soul is not only holy, though I know you don't feel holy, but you cannot feel holy. If you feel holy, that's a sure sign you're not. Who feels holy? We're in the process of suffering all the time. Who feels holy? You're fighting not to blow your stack. You're fighting not to choke somebody. You're fighting all the time. You're fighting just not to get angry at that driver ahead of you. Or the driver on the highway that's going 25 or 30. And everybody's honking at you. They're not honking at the driver in front of you. They're honking at you like, why aren't you going faster? These are little things. The big truck, you know, 2 18-wheelers hooked onto each other pass you by. You got one of these Fiats. And you're hanging on to the wheel and it's just going this way or that way. Don't tell me you don't feel a lot of things you want to say. But you don't. You say, Jesus, help me. No. Just help me to be what you want me to be. And go your way. See, these are little things. Our life is made up of little, little things. You ever clean your house? Just so wonderful. Your daughter comes and say, Mom, I got to go to the doctor. Will you take care of the kids? Oh, sure, honey. Mm-hmm. Boy. They're on the sofa jumping up and down. One's under the sofa, one's on top. The cat's all excited and she's up on the draperies. Somebody calls with a long story, you don't have time. By that time, somebody's yelling and screaming. You go over there, they're fighting. So you get them untangled, then you go back and they're yelling again. Say, look, I gave you some milk. I don't like milk. The other one says, I love milk. Okay, I give you milk. You can have a Coke. Then they begin to pour Coke and milk together. All on your carpet. Is that hard? You bet you it's hard. Is it unfair? Uh-huh. Right. But they're kids. And you did the same when you were a kid. Maybe worse. So take these things, or think before you act. And say, Jesus, give me patience. You're not gonna feel patient. Forget that. You know, don't forget that feeling patient business. Who can feel gentle? You have to be born gentle. I was not born gentle. I had to grit my teeth, my jaw, and pray hard, see. But that's okay. That's okay. If I can just keep saying, Lord, I trust in you, give me patience. Well, we're going to go for calls. I know there's not much time left. But for everything we have, from headaches to asthma to ingrown toenails, that's pretty hard. Let's just say, Lord, I trust in you. Help me go through my day, and then I'll maybe take care of it tonight. Okay. We're going to have a little break so I can take some more water, and we'll be back with your calls in just a minute.
Thank you.
have a call. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Yeah, where are you from?
I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio.
And what
kind? And my question is that I'm a Catholic convert. As a matter of fact, I'm not yet a convert. I was raised as a Protestant. Mm-hmm. But I enjoy your program very much, and I'm very privileged to talk to you now. I'm very, very happy, and I love you very much.
Thank you.
The only thing I want to know, how to consecrate my life completely to Jesus Christ.
Well, that's a wonderful question, because all of us must dedicate and consecrate our life to Jesus, no matter what state you're in. First of all, it means that I want to be faithful to my state in life, whether it's married state, single, religious, priesthood, brotherhood, whatever. But in that state, I want to be like Jesus. You know, if you read the Gospels, you kind of put in your heart and mind what he did and said. He was awesome. When he was before Pilate, Pilate was very angry with Jesus. And he said, don't you know, because Jesus wouldn't talk to him. And what a terrible thing to be so bad that God doesn't want to talk to you. He wouldn't answer. Wouldn't answer Herod either or Caiaphas. God was silent. But when he said, don't you know, I have power to crucify you or free you, the Lord had to speak. He said, no, you have no power over me except it is given to you from above. What you think of that when somebody had you scourged, crowned with thorns, humiliated before the whole crowd of people? Would our hearts be ready? Well, our Lord doesn't expect us to do the things he did. He's infinite. But he expects us to do things the way he did. In your problems, in your heartache, say, it is the Lord. When the apostles were so scared in that boat because of the storm, and they saw Jesus walking on the water, said, Lord, save us. He wanted to hear them say, I need you, Jesus. And he made, it said, he made as if to go away. The disciples gone to Emmaus, he made as if to walk ahead or go away. He wanted to hear them say, Jesus, I need you. Isn't that wonderful? I trust you, Lord. I trust this to you. That's what you have to do. And pray. Pray. And I know some of you are saying, well, Mother, in real life, oh, come on. You talking about way some of you live real life? It's real death. It's not real life. You gotta be kidding. I may be 74, but I'm not senile. That is not real life. I know real life. If you ever live in a rat-infested apartment, rats this big, you know real life. But that's not real. I was born and you were born for Jesus. So you want to be close to him. You want him to be your best friend. Now, how is he going to be your best friend if you never talk to him? What happens if one friend doesn't talk to another? Yeah, you know what happens. So the next thing you do, praise Jesus, pray. Pray, just talk to him every when you're in your car, when you're alone. Just talk to him like I am talking to you. Say the rosary because it's a powerful tool. And then love your neighbor. You say, why'd you put love your neighbor first? Well, it takes all of that to love your neighbor. Doesn't it? I mean, you got to have the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they have to have the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit to love you. So we're kind of all in the same boat, you know? So, number one, we want to trust the Lord. We want to pray. We want to be like Him. We want to be like Him. And when we fail, then we want to be humble and admit it. You know, there's some people who will never say, I'm sorry. Bad, bad. So, if you want to consecrate your life to God, be cheerful. Oh, there's nothing worse than a sad saint. I don't think they're saints at all. How can you love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength? First commandment, and not be happy. See? So that's how you would consecrate yourself to God. See? Consecrate yourself to God. We have another call. Hello?
Hello.
Where are you from?
I am from New York.
Good.
And my name is Lourdes Kessler.
And what is your question?
My question is, I'm looking at a magazine, Newsweek, that has an article about the meaning of Mary. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little confused because in one part of the article it says, in place of the Holy Trinity, there
what?
Would be...
What? Hold on. What did it say?
It says, in place of the Holy Trinity, there would be a kind of holy quartet, saying that Mary would be part of the Holy Trinity. And I'm a little confused with that because it's like they're putting Mary to be equal to God. And I wanted to see if you could shed some light on that for me.
I am happy to shed light on that. Nobody can become God. Nobody. God is God. He always was, is, and will be. There was no time there was not God. Mary cannot, doesn't want to, and will never be God. What do you mean quartet? Oh. There must be these goddess people saying stupid things like that. Nobody. There's only one God and one three persons and one God. There cannot be. They can, and not even God can make Mary God. Why? Because she's a creature. There was a time she was not. But she was in the mind of God like you and I are in the mind of God before time began. Spit quartet. Ugh. They deny. People who say that deny our dear mother, and we deny the Lord the honor and the glory of His greatest creature. She's a creature, but the very highest creature. She is the one most filled, full of grace, the angel said. Of course, those who want inclusive language say, hail, oh, favorite one. Oh, favorite one. We're all favorite if we're born. If you've been born and here you are sitting there, you're favorite. God is God and there is no other God. But Mary is His most wonderful creature. So when I say that she has these kind of prerogatives, I am giving honor to God. You know, when I go to Rome and I say the Pietà, the Sistine Chapel, is it wrong to say Michelangelo did it? Is it wrong to give him credit? I mean, the little cherub up there got it and they painted all that. No, with Michelangelo painted it. Where did he get his talent? From God. Mary would have nothing if it were not for our dear Lord. What we deny is that our dear Lord could create such a creature. That's what we're denying. We don't want to give honor and glory to God, to one so holy. A mere creature so holy, pure enough to be a tabernacle of the Son of God, the eternal Word, filled with grace. Where is grace? What does grace mean? Grace means God, filled with God. Well, I wish I got that one first. But, sweetheart, you should be horror-struck at such a dumb statement. But I don't think we should not define that beautiful dogma because of a few people who don't like it. The church is not a democracy. It's not a voting booth. It's the herald of truth, the deposit of faith. And we must say what God has created, whether we like it or not. By the way, while I'm on a roll, I've gotten some letters saying, Mother, always asking for money now. I'm sorry about that. I really am. But today I had to make a pitch of my own, and those are my own. If I don't, we won't have a network, you know? I don't want to. I really don't. It's very, very hard for me to ask you for money. I have to. You are the creators and sustainers of this network, see? So don't get angry. I don't have anything in the bank. We have no savings, no stocks, no bond, nothing, period. We need you. You know, we have 10 million homes in South America, 54 million homes here. We must keep the faith alive. And Jesus and I need you. Thank you.